It's Wednesday, March 11th, and the Milwaukee Bucks have finally hit a rough patch here in the 2019-2020 season. And there's a chance with all the narratives and everything going on, the Bucks might be underrated heading to the playoffs. Is that a good thing? To the college ranks, March Madness finally gets underway a bit this week with the big conference tournaments. We'll get you set for the Badgers and Marquette as they push their way to a conference tournament championship. To the Brewers spring training well underway, Orlando Arcia's power surge. Is it real or just spring training? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome to another edition of the Tap in the Keg podcast,
episode
373. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. How's everybody? World's going a little crazy. We'll talk about that later. Excited to do that. Excited to be here as always. It's a great time of the year. As long as March Madness is happening, we will have a SnowTap WI Madness. I don't know what the prizes will entail. We always take recommendations on prizes. I never get any feedback on that. But if you guys really do want like a $50 gift card to Silk, just let me know. We'll hook that up. Kidding aside.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is no one's going to publicly say that.
Does Silk even do gift cards? Probably not, right?
I'm sure they have some sort of in-house currency, but I don't know.
Silk dollars?
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be a good,
maybe.
That'd be some good investigative journalism by all of us.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, how are you, bud?
I am good. I'm really good. Got the, for the gamers out there, we have the new Call of Duty Battle Royale game has launched.
Nice. So, you got that?
Yeah, I mean, it's free.
Oh, it's it's kind of their
answer. It's an add-on to the current game.
Is it their answer to Fortnite?
Well, they had one from before.
Did they? Okay.
They did one last year.
I mean, so. I am as in the dark about that. So let me ask you, speaking of gaming and that we do sports, what do you think about the 2K franchise getting together with the NFL? Does that move the needle for you at all?
I did read that. I saw that. I mean, it's one of those things where, I don't know. We have to wait and see because it's not going to be a simulation game. So it could be more of an NFL Blitz style then maybe.
Yeah.
Where they
like NFL Street?
Yeah, where it's not gonna. They should have the licensing, I guess. Then, but they're, which is all you need. But I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
It probably would be like MLB The Show and then RBI Baseball, okay. Which I believe is the other one. Where it's like one is a, you know, MLB The Show, everyone plays it, and I feel like there's probably just enough people to justify making it every year of the other one.
Sure,
but it's
Yeah, I wasn't a huge. Like I had one year, I remember, where I had both 2K and Madden video games when they didn't have the full licensing. I was like, sitting in 99. It was PlayStation 1, Terrell Davis on the cover of the 2K game.
So that would have been that wouldn't have been 2K. That would have been the 989 sports game.
No. It was 2K.
Really? With Terrell Davis in 99?
I believe so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but my years might be off here, but it might be 2000 or whatever. But it was a fun game, and that was enjoyable. But that was the last time I remember playing an NFL 2K game, and then I just decided to become a Madden loyalist.
Well, I know NFL 2K5 is the last, like that's like the beloved 2K. I had both that year because that was 1999, I think. Compared to Madden's 50 or 60 or whatever it was,
yeah,
so I just had both,
yeah,
because it was cheap. I mean, it might as well try it.
Sure, absolutely.
And
yeah,
they took it away from us.
It's $20. You gotta go after it. But we are not here to talk video games. We are here to talk about the once dominant Milwaukee Bucks. I do not know if that was a Matt Velasquez headline
time to blow it up
or a copywriter. I will try. I'll defer that it was a copywriter. Because I love Matty V, he's one of my favorites to do it, so I'm going to proceed with caution. I was blowing up journalists yesterday about coronavirus.
I didn't see this particular headline that we're speaking of.
Yes.
He is definitely not one to come out with a spicy, you know, take like that, so probably wasn't him.
It is the headline of the article. So it's like the once dominant Bucks are suddenly struggling, and he talks about the losing streak, and he talks about how...
Well, and it's your fault for bringing it up on the podcast last week about how their offense has kind of been low-key stinky last week. So
I kind of have seen the writing on the wall a little bit that this could kind of go in a direction I wasn't supposed to. I talked about it on Monday that, you know, Brian Sampson of Bucks Film Room basically did all this research to say, yeah, there has been a little bit of regression and there has been some of that. But I think to call them once dominant is a little bit, that's definitely hyperbole. That's not to say, like, they lost three games, and one of them they decided not to play anybody. Now, let's talk a little bit about Monday's game. Do you think that that was Mike Budenholzer sending a message to his team, Mike Budenholzer sending a message to the league, Mike Budenholzer just doing something kind of bizarre and just deciding
I really couldn't figure it out watching the game what the message was.
Yeah, the message would have been, like, you guys did not take Phoenix seriously at all. And
yeah,
that was
to the team, that would
game.
Be, yeah, that would be,
that's
that was
the message to the team.
That was the message to Chris Middleton. That was a message to, I guess, Brook Lopez. I mean, Middleton was decent, though. It just,
yeah, Middleton had 39 points.
I just think it was, you know, a bad day. It was.
I mean, that was it.
I think it was probably all the above.
The message to the league would be like, hey,
you put us on a fucking end of a road trip back-to-back in Denver.
Yeah, why the fuck are we playing six games in nine nights in the middle of the season? Like, I'm not going to have my guys kill themselves for a game that honestly doesn't mean that much to us.
Yeah, a game that we'd probably lose anyway.
Right. And
Denver did not play well.
No.
I mean, they are as I mean, as inconsistent, at least lately, as any team in the league.
I'd say Denver, of the eight top four teams, Denver's probably the most vulnerable to get bounced in the first round. I think Boston's right there if Kemba's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Denver just, is that too spicy?
I mean, I love it, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't tell ESPN or Fox Sports 1.
Are you telling me
any
that
of those?
Do you want Brad Wanamaker playing 30 minutes a game
no,
in the playoffs?
But, hey, you're preaching to the choir. I mean.
Danny Ainge, for as much goodwill as Danny Ainge gets, not that we do a bad job probably of shitting on the national media too much, but they lay it out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
it's kind of like LeBron. He brings it all on himself.
How
so
did
it's
Danny
like, the national
Ainge
media
not get any heat for not upgrading that backup roster spot that he definitely needed to, and there were guards available that he could have brought in?
I don't know. He gets a pass for a lot of things. I mean,
right.
He does.
He's kind of Teflon.
He is.
He has a lot of good media
because
friends.
He robbed a terrible GM of the Nets organization. You know, back in 2013 or whatever or whenever that was. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
He gets this like trump card because it's like, well, this is, you know, the biggest fleecing of all time, and
right.
It was, and it is, and you know, the team, he hasn't done much with the assets. I mean, I think that the Tatum move. I mean, people love Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah. The gold
medal. That helps him, too.
He might not be the gold medal winner of NBA media darlings. It might be Kenny Atkinson. It might be David Griffin. Those are, like, the three I can think of. Because you know that they want to look cool when they talk about David Griffin because they call him Griff.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, yeah, Griff says this. It's like, oh, we get it. You're cool. You're tight with the
Is that
Pelicans.
Kendrick Perkins who does that?
Kendrick Perkins does it. Russillo does it. I've heard a few other people do it.
I don't like Kendrick Perkins.
So Kendrick Perkins
is
weird. It seems like he's just a retweet gangster.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like he just wants the retweets. He knows, like, what pushes the needle, and he's good at his job, so I give him credit.
I think when he's on TV, it's almost like he's reading lines.
Yeah. I think it's a little forced on TV. I mean, in a way, he's still green when it comes to the media game.
That's true.
So sometimes those guys take a while to like actually get good at their job. It's hard to be good like that.
But he's the type of guy that'll...
Remember Shaq, right? Shaq was kind of rigid, and then Shaq kind of got into a groove, and now I think Shaq's a lot better than he was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, he's been around Charles Barkley now for a while.
Right.
So he's kind of learned a little bit of the...
Yeah, Kendrick doesn't have that luxury. I mean, it's all like, how many more former Celtics are we going to get on the broadcast? We have Paul Pierce, we have Kendrick Perkins. We're going to add Walter McCarty. Oh, actually, he's problematic these days.
I feel like Perkins is the type of guy that'll come on, Big Perk, as they call him.
Yeah.
Will come on the Milwaukee station.
Yeah, because he has a contract with Radio 1.
Radio.com, yep. Thank you very much. He will come on a Milwaukee station and say all great things, right? And then turn around and like tweet something, you know, less than a week later about how, you know, I'm worried and this and that, or, you know, or just, it doesn't even have to be in Milwaukee.
I might have to give Kendrick Perkins a follow just so I can see this. And then
I don't think I do, but
then I'll call him out on it in a blog post. I just like to try to incite words, because that's kind of, I tried to see if the Manitowoc guy would get at me today, because I asked if I was an asshole. I actually got good feedback on that. Wrote, am I the asshole post for not liking the Manitowoc Minuteman? Because I really don't like him.
I did read that, and I don't disagree. I mean, I haven't liked him since the first time I saw his video.
Look,
I'm like,
I just think
as a Wisconsinite, it's just like, I'm offended.
I just think his 15 minutes is over. I kind of feel bad
for
him,
sure.
Because it's like that Simpsons gif where it's like, do the thing. Like, we want to see it. Do it again. And it's like, I feel bad, but he's like, and he's making money. You're like, I give him credit, but it's like, I'm just over it. So I'm glad it's you. Shout out to Troji, shout out to Timmy. All those guys were like, hey, you're right. And it's not like I'm trying to get this echo chamber. Like, if you disagree with me, you disagree with me. But that's the thing. Yeah. I think that now, as we've talked about this and about the sort of the Bucks at this point, now they got a big game against the Celtics, who we spoke about on Thursday night. Might have Giannis, might not, probably not. I would assume
they have what, 4 or 5 losses already in March?
They do. Celtics were beating Indiana when I left for the podcast.
It's a deadly combination of injuries, maybe. So, like, dog days, general dog days of the NBA season. I think that's been thrown out there, I think, accurately, that, like, March for the NBA is just kind of, especially, like, the first few weeks of March, you know, until you get through the college stuff, it's just kind of, okay, you know.
It's going through the motions.
It's going through the motions, because you're far enough removed from the All-Star break where guys are kind of sluggish again, probably, and... But you're not quite there to the point where you're gearing up for the playoffs.
Right.
So it's just dog days, injuries, and a tough schedule. So it's kind of the perfect storm for the Bucks right now to have their struggles.
Yeah, and I mean, so in that 6 out of 9 stretch, they went 5-4. It's not an easy stretch. I think if you look at that stretch for any team in the NBA and you're like, hey, This is the kind of thing you'd have to go through. What do you think your record would be? I think 5-4 would actually be considered good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes to my point a couple weeks ago when I told you that I think it's a headline when the Bucks
lose. At least
they
didn't blow any 30-point leads this time or anything like that lately.
No, they didn't do anything really dumb. There wasn't anything really in there where you're like, wow, you should have had that. Do you buy in? I've said this on the podcast a couple times. I love your opinion on it. Do you think the Bucks struggle to come back? Do you think they're not good at coming back because they don't do it often, so they don't really have that in their sort of toolbox yet?
The only one I can think of is Game 1 against Houston, where they were down pretty big at half and came back and won.
That's a good point.
And I don't know. We haven't seen it. I think they shoot enough threes.
Yeah,
they have a good enough superstar.
I just think, at least from the Lakers game, it looked like they were just forcing too much. And maybe it was because of the opponent more so than it was. But they got on that 18-0 run killed them. I mean, that 18-0 run. But then everything was forced. I mean, Middleton, Giannis. Giannis took some bad mid-range jumpers. And I know that he's working on that. And I can make that defense too, that, hey, Giannis, it mattered more to LeBron than it did Giannis Antetokounmpo. And because of the Lakers' sort of run, they are now kind of the prohibited favorites. They've knocked the Bucks off the number one spot, which, fine. If that's we want to do it, it's okay. We are in a snap judgment world. Mm-hmm. We're in a snap judgment society. People forget that the Bucks have already beat the Clippers twice.
The Bucks were on the NBA.com power rankings as number one for 14 weeks in a row.
And so,
you know, I kind of thought to myself, well, okay. I mean, it's fair now. They lost the Lakers, it's okay. They're only, the Lakers are what, 2 games behind the Bucks now for the
2.5, yeah.
2.5.
And they play Brooklyn tonight. So they could be 2.
They have like played 3 or 4 less games than the Bucks somehow.
Yeah.
Which is amazing considering the Bucks had 9 days off, or 1 game in 9 days when they went to London and then Paris, it was London years ago. And then had the All-Star break. Obviously everybody's on the All-Star break, but I mean, somehow the Lakers have still only played like 3 less games, which is amazing.
I mean, it's funny how that works,
right? With no back-to-backs in the near future.
Yeah, just, you know.
I made sure to look at that.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, just making sure that the league. I think some of that, though, is the league, because the league doesn't want LeBron resting. The league doesn't want LeBron to, you know, say. And LeBron has even said, like, hey, I don't want to load manage on road trips. Like, he said that, I think, in December or something when load management was a big topic. whether you believe that or he's pandering to an audience.
So the league's going to help him out there.
Exactly. They take care of it. They're like, hey, look, we'll make sure that like you're going to have ample time to like rest. Now, who knows? Maybe that hurts them in the playoffs. Maybe it was the grind of the playoffs gets to them a little bit. I will say this. The Bucks coming into this a little underrated, a little bit not looking like this juggernaut is kind of a good thing. It's okay. Yeah, are we as fans going to be mad about the disrespect? Yeah, but we've been mad about it all year. This hasn't changed.
I was going to say that they haven't really been looked at as a juggernaut all year.
Okay. So
not in the same light of like Golden State from the last couple of years where maybe they're not that good, clearly, but for a lot of the season, it looked like they were, in the record-wise, that they were going to line right up with them.
Well, let me ask you this then. So if they were if they won 71 games,
Oh, they'd put a ton of pressure on themselves.
Exactly. There would be a huge red X on the back of back of everyone's jersey that is the team.
Yeah.
And they win 65, 68 games, they're still going to be hype.
And I would have to delete my Twitter account if they didn't make it to the finals. I'm probably going to anyway, if they don't make it to the finals, just because I'm not going to be able to stand it.
I think that would be good for your mental health. I don't hate that idea. I mean, I think that's an okay thing.
I've been meaning to officially announce that on Twitter that I'm done if they don't make the, like, this, that's it.
You should just delete it until the end of the election. You should just say, I'm out until mid-November, and then I'll be back.
Oh.
Or I'm retiring my
if
account.
Politics were my thing,
I don't know. Doesn't annoy you on Twitter? You don't see enough of like the politics stuff?
I do. I just ignore it.
Oh, good for you. That's some people say like I'm not dealing with the Bucks, I'm not dealing with this. I mean, Bucks Twitter tried to have a bracket and it went off the rails. I don't know if you saw any of that.
I've been seeing a lot of shit like
it's
that. The Bucks Twitter brackets that and the other.
It's just gotten very strange. Some guy on Reddit one of the moderators of Reddit did like a 20 thread piece about how the guy who created it's this asshole.
Oh, and I didn't see that.
I was like, oh my God. Get outside, bud. Just fucking relax. Put your phone down. Go to bed.
See it was like a 10 tweet thread about how he's a piece of shit or something.
I was like, it's not that serious.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like the Tommy Lee Jones gif. I don't care.
Yeah. I just was thinking, I mean, NBA Twitter's gotten bad. I don't, maybe it's because, like, I used to like it, and it's just maybe because the Bucks are actually good the last couple of years, and this year in particular has been really tough. To kind of look at it because everything is so like, oh, but you lost in the playoffs. Yep, but you lost in the playoffs. Yep, they're a regular season team. Yep, they're frauds. It's just everything. Like everything you see. And then you get the Bucks play the Bulls, the Pistons, and the Cavs four times a year. Well, the fucking Lakers play the Suns, the Warriors, and the Kings. So shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And they get two extra home games. Right. Every year, because they play the Clippers.
And the Clippers barely have fans. I mean, if you watch that game on Sunday.
Even if it was full of Clipper fans, it's still your own arena.
It was Sunday, and I was, like, doing chores as I was, like, had the game on TV because my girlfriend was too hungover to move from the couch. So I was.
Tried to run with big guns and couldn't do it.
She did try to run with the big dogs, and she got just. I was fresh as a daisy.
Just face planted.
And she acts like it's a big deal that I go out all the time. And then she sees why. It's like my body is a fucking temple. And I know how to handle myself on a Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly.
And because you don't go out, Tuts.
Fresh as a daisy, my ass.
Yeah, I was pretty good, actually.
Okay.
I wasn't as bad as 2 weeks ago when we went out. I didn't have dinner. So I got chopsticks for myself at night. And I felt so sick the next day. And I then had to take some Tums and go to bed.
I myself had Apollo Cafe for the first time in a while weekend.
Did you have a gyro?
No.
Yeah, you can't have a gyro.
Feta burger.
Good boy. Your mouth tastes like an absolute asshole after eating the gyro.
Yeah, I'm not a gyro guy.
Yeah?
They're actually decent, but I just don't like white sauce, so I can't do
it. Yeah, you're not.
I can't load it up with tzatziki sauce like everybody else does.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, not to really derail this. Mitch does not eat any white sauces.
I just think it's weird.
White sauces. Amazing.
The textures on some of them, the tastes on most of them, I just can't do it.
How do you feel about like fettuccine alfredo, which is a white sauce, but it's more like a cream sauce? It's a little different.
I don't eat it. I mean, I don't make it.
I won't order it. Don't shoot the messenger. I thought it was just a condiment-based situation.
It falls in that category, unfortunately.
Okay. just making sure. I had to ask. So
like mayo is horrible.
Yeah. Again,
the funny thing, like I'll eat it. Like if I get a Whopper, yeah. It's got mayo on it. Like yeah. I'll eat it and I, whatever, but I don't like it. And it's, you know,
you could ask.
I'm not that fussy. I know you can, but
mayo.
But I figure there's at least a 75% chance it'll be on there anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like, especially at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, so what's the point?
Sure.
Anyway,
get that. That was great. That was a great diversion. But yeah, I do think that there is a little bit of that the Bucks will have less of a target on their back if they're under that 70-win threshold, if they are not being talked about
sure.
as the best team ever.
And who cares, really? I mean,
yeah, and
about 70.
Look, I do want to see them play
it's
a
over.
Little bit better heading into that final stretch.
Well,
now,
for sure.
I still think we are like 2 or 3 weeks away from having that conversation. I don't think that like... If they're still kind of scuffling at the start of April, okay, you and I kind of need to say, are we going to push? Is the panic button being pushed here? Are we a little worried that this team is now fading and they're fading quick? And how can you save them? But again,
I can't see it.
I can't either. But I'm just saying, like, that we're not even at that point yet. So the comment to kind of bring the plane back, the comment about once dominant, the comment about that this is suddenly a big deal, it's not. Yes, they lost 3 games in a row for the first time under Mike Budenholzer. Guess what? They were going to have a 3-game losing streak somewhere in here.
Mm-hmm.
And could it be 4 against Boston? Maybe, but guess what? Boston's not really playing that well. They might beat Indiana tonight, but Indiana's half a roster.
Yeah. Well, the whole Giannis thing is kind of, we haven't really talked about it, but I mean,
sure.
it's kind of in there too because it's a knee injury.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
it is not going to be, it's so difficult to kind of gauge him with injuries because we've never had it and he's so tough. And like, as I've said jokingly, I mean, he'd probably have to get shot literally to come off the court. I mean, like, you know, I saw some stuff on Twitter about how it was reckless to leave him in that game. And it's like, dude, he got up, he walked it off. He looked good enough. I mean, I think you could tell he was favoring something.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're never going to know with him.
He seemed very bouncy on Monday night.
He
and
did.
Maybe it was he was pumped that Thanasis was getting so much time and... But he was really engaged, and he was really like another coach out there. It's very cliche, but that is what Giannis looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you he will try to push to play on Thursday. Will Bud let him? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bud's going to let him. I do think that they might compromise. Bud might say, I really don't want you playing Thursday. And if he goes, okay, well, can I play Saturday? I want to play Saturday. And he's like, if you progress – like, yeah, we can – Saturday's more likely. And maybe that's what they have to do. Or he says to him, you can play Thursday, but I'm going to hold you out Saturday and get you for the Heat. And maybe that's what he does regardless. He's like, I want Giannis against the 2 Eastern Conference teams. Those are who matter. I don't really care about the Warriors.
To me, that would make the most sense. I think for me, honestly, I think I sit in Boston and Golden State.
Yeah.
And just try to come back. You know, next week.
Look, I wrote
and pound the Miami Heat.
Be conservative as you want to be with this guy, because I do think there is some of that too. Is you can be as conservative as you want to be. It's a combination of you don't want to piss Giannis off, but you also want to do what's best for him, and you want to make sure that Giannis understands.
Well, I mean, yeah, you would hope he would understand that
this isn't that important. That you have a 6-game lead against the Raptors. The Raptors aren't going to catch you. Lakers are probably two back. Let's say they beat Brooklyn tonight. They're a 10-point favorite. I would assume they beat Brooklyn tonight. They're 2 back of you.
Brooklyn's a little frisky sometimes.
Not a good road against the spread team, though. They don't do that well on the road. They're not a good road team. Good, decent team. But you're right, they're frisky. Although they did beat the Bulls on Sunday, and they had 28 turnovers. And they still beat the Bulls.
They also won, I believe, in Boston.
They did.
Because Caris LeVert had like 57 or
he
something.
He had 52, and he had 14 going into the fourth quarter. Just incredible.
Yeah, he hit everything.
I love Caris LeVert. But Caris LeVert's a low-key Chuck T all-star. Like, just a guy I really like to watch. I liked him in college, too.
Mm-hmm.
He played at Michigan.
Just has had some bad injuries.
Yeah, totally. I think the Bucks will sort of figure out what's best for Giannis and what's best for their team. I could see Monday. I guess I would say I'd be very surprised he plays on Thursday. Kind of surprised if he plays
Saturday.
A little, not even a little surprised. Assuming he'll play Monday, and if he doesn't, I'm not going to care. And then whatever game comes after that, then I'm like, all right, probably ready to go.
Yeah.
Then I worry: are they just being conservative, or is it a bigger issue?
Real problem. Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see him win a game without him again. I feel like it's been a couple now.
Now they're 8-2 or something like that. I mean, they've been pretty good without him.
I feel like it's more like 5-3.
Is it 5-3?
They were 5-0. Now I think they've lost 3 in a row without him.
Okay. So maybe it is 5-3.
I could be wrong.
No, that's
okay. I could have seen the wrong stat or something, but.
Well, you do know that Chris Middleton kills the Boston Celtics, and so that is very true, that the Celtics killer himself, Chris Middleton, will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can live without Giannis on Thursday as long as everybody else is back, and I think that's another reason why Bud said everybody Monday was just to get everybody fresh again.
Yeah, reset.
Now you have two days at home
reset,
and then waiting for Boston.
Get ready for Boston, who's a beatable opponent even without Giannis, and the Bucks probably will still be favored. Even if Giannis doesn't play, I would say probably a 2 or 3 point favorite.
Dante DiVincenzo has been great lately.
Dante's been really good.
Offensively.
Yes.
Finally.
Defensively. Yeah. And he's starting to find his 3-point shot. And if he starts hitting 3 to 4 threes a game, good luck.
Well, I think more importantly, he's looked more fearless going to the basket too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a.
Dante's going to put somebody on a poster before the end of the year.
You're going to need a little bit more shot creation. Maybe he can sort of, because Wes Matthews ain't getting past nobody.
No.
I mean, once in a blue moon.
Or he gets a mismatch,
he gets a layup.
On like a Joel Embiid or somebody like that.
And he just can run around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a blow by is not a little spicy.
Sure.
For Wes Matthews. I honestly think I'm more athletic than Wes Matthews.
Get out of here.
I'm pretty close. It's really close.
Shut up.
But I think Dante can kind of provide some of that. Shot creation, or if that's off the dribble that Malcolm Brogdon has left us, I think he could be sort of alleviate that, especially as you watch him get more and more aggressive and fearless going towards the basket and being able to finish, most importantly.
Totally. Dante's been excellent, and I think he...
But as I tweeted during the Laker game, which I put up Chuck Trichler numbers on the Twitters.
Well, that's what you get. I mean, when you're being at home, you got mad at us that you didn't get the invite to Monica's.
I didn't get mad. I just.
It was FOMO. FOMO.
Not at all. It would have been.
You did. It's
it would
okay.
have. No, not
it's
at
okay
all.
It's okay to admit you had a little FOMO.
As I said,
all the time.
I was absolutely in my element. Didn't have to work Friday night. It was a late night game, unfortunately. But I had some whiskey.
What do you expect?
I think some of the tweets were alcohol infused.
Yeah, just like mine again when I was tweeting at Seton Hall fans on Saturday night.
Yeah, so I mean, it happens, and it was probably 30 or 40 tweets. I don't know. I'd have to count, but if I did 20 in a game, that's a PI.
Yeah,
PR. Excuse me.
Look, you know, my tweets will be hot and heavy.
Oh, but what I was gonna say was, if Dante is your best player for an entire quarter,
that's probably
you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's an issue. My tweets will be hot and heavy on Thursday because not only do I have Bucks Celtics, I also have Marquette and Seton Hall. We'll talk about Marquette in a second here. But before even we get into the Badgers, it seems like the coronavirus is starting to...
It's now a sports topic.
It is a sports topic. It is. I think that if a sports radio team doesn't talk about the coronavirus tomorrow, they're probably doing it wrong. And they just don't want to talk about it because... Yeah, you can say in preface, like, hey, we're not medical professionals. But we're not talking about the medical prognosis.
I would say that until it happens in the Big Ten or the Big East, it's probably not necessarily a local radio topic.
Maybe. That's a good point. That's a good point. And I do worry about the Big East because Bill de Blasio is kind of an overreacting guy, the mayor of New York City. And if he were to shut down New York City... And then, I don't know what happens. I don't know.
How does one shut down New York City?
I don't think that'll be the case. But here's basically what...
It's like 8 million people.
what I know about coronavirus. And I'm sure that there are people who say, well, actually, that's fine. It really is impactful for anyone over the age of 70. 70 plus seems to be the point where shit gets very real. Because... It fills up your lungs, and it has a lot of similar symptoms to pneumonia. Pneumonia also kills old people. all the time. You see old people who die of pneumonia. It happens often because they can't breathe, and some of them are former smokers, some of them aren't. So it's a very serious thing. It hasn't really affected young people, and people our age tend to be okay. I read an article about a guy in Rhode Island who had it, who got it in Italy, but his lungs filled up so quickly because he had asthma, right? Okay. So I think that these are a little, we're in a hysteria time, and there's a fear of not fucking up. And there's a fear of being the one place that, okay, we let this person in, he or she got corona, and they died. And how could we live with that? We might get sued. All this shit. And I think that's what the NCAA and some of the other people are saying. Hand-wringing from the media has been priceless and just fucking so stupid. And well, I already ranted about that yesterday. You can listen to that. But I do think what people, what needs to be done, this is what I would do. And I know that we are a country who does not want to offend anybody. But we need to call it for what it is. And we need to call it for what it is, that it's a mostly old person's thing. And that it really affects people who are old. So what I would do if I was the NCAA, I wouldn't ban people from their stadium. Because I just think that sports should be a distraction. And I think sports are important. And when sports aren't even going on, or they're going on in a weird way, we as a country, I think just, I don't know how we'd handle it. Like, you look throughout history and sports have always been a constant, no matter what we're doing. The last time sports sort of stopped was World War fucking II, when we all went to war. Is that what we're really going to compare this to? So
hadn't thought about that, but that's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of true. Where, I mean, could you imagine basketball in an empty stadium? How stupid would that be?
It'd be the weirdest fucking thing ever.
And they go, and people are, there's a thought out there that, well, people are watching anyway, and that's the most important thing. That's how the league makes their money. But like, you're going to tell an owner that they can't make any gate revenue?
Like, exactly.
I don't get how that is realistic.
So here are the two things I would do. And they could be similar. They could be, you know, both working at the same time. One is, you tell people above the age of 70 that they cannot attend. You say that we are going to be scanning IDs, and if you are above the age of 70, we will not allow you in. We'll refund your tickets. We'll take care of you. If you have flights, things like that, we'll try to make it as easy and as simple as possible. You fill out a form, whatever. Number two, which is a little more simpler, is you come up with a very well-written terms and agreement thing, and you send it out to everybody who has a ticket. And that if you sell your ticket, you are responsible for that person. Just like you would be if I bought our friend's Packer tickets and I acted like an asshole, he's responsible because I acted like an asshole. So if someone dies but on your watch because of the tickets, it's your fault, not ours. You default any blame from anybody. And you're basically in a binding agreement that if you agree to come into that arena, you are bound to your decision. You consented and made that decision. What do you think of that?
I mean, that's...
I know that's, like, exhausting, and I know it's a little more serious than what we usually do, but I really workshop this hard, and I think it's pretty smart.
My thing is, like, where does it end? Or, like what? How long does this go for until it's gone? Well, I mean, that could be...
So
6 months.
I think this is what you do for the NCAA tournament. If I was the NCAA, now we know the NCAA is not the brightest crayon in the box. No. They are about as ignorant as it comes. But if I am the NCAA legal, PR, marketing head, I am talking to everybody in baseball, NHL, NFL, and NBA. And I'm getting all the smartest people in a room, and I'm having that conversation, and it's almost like a united front. And if the NBA then starts saying, like, hey, look, anytime you come into our games, at least for the time being, until we know that this disease is starting to flatline. Because with a lot of these things, Ebola, H1N1, SARS, thanks, they at some point flatline a little bit. So until we start seeing that it's flatlining, then we can do this. Because right now, we're just overreacting to one little thing. UWM's getting 2 weeks of spring break. Okay, what are they going to do with those 2 weeks of spring break? They're going to drink, have a lot of sex, and not really care about their bodies.
Right.
So don't tell me that you're protecting kids because they're not going to school, because they're not protecting themselves.
Yeah, I think they're also, from the university's perspective, did we mention that UWM is... You did, right?
Yeah, I just did. They have an employee that could have...
that has been tested for it, so yeah. It's... I mean, that's about as close to home as it gets, especially, I mean, obviously...
If you're a student there,
or I mean,
yeah,
you know, but they're going to take the extra week to prepare to finish up the semester with online format.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done probably because people take online classes all the time, but.
But are you going to tell these kids to not go to Joe Cats on a random Wednesday? Or are you going to tell these kids not to go to Trinity on a random
Well, and that's
Thursday?
The thing too, is like.
Is like,
I, that's what I'm saying.
How
is like,
are you going to?
You're going to close an arena for, say, 20, 30,000 people. I mean, the bars aren't going to close. That's a private industry. I mean, it's going to be.
It's their.
It's a totally. So, like, it's their call.
If we. And maybe that's an interesting thing to do. And maybe I should.
I don't think a bar owner is above a goddamn thing.
Maybe I should do some investigative journalism this weekend and head over to Jack's and be like, hey.
Have you thought about
trying out?
Honestly, that, like, those are the people who, like, probably should be getting interviewed by I don't know,
right.
Fox 6,
yeah.
WTMJ.
We might just have to switch topics. I might have to just do this.
Because
I might have to go and like be like, all right, I talked to...
I mean, it's like that's the place where people are getting together.
Yeah, because that's actually...
Every night.
That's the story right there. Is like, are any of these bars going to say, you know what,
We're going to shut our doors.
We're going to take away maybe one of our most profitable... And it's St. Patrick's Day on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So are you, and the parades this weekend, are you going to just take away all of those profits?
No.
we're all capitalists.
Yeah.
They're not going to get a handout. They could apply for funds. I'm sure there'll be relief funds to say, hey, our business was affected by, like, President Trump has talked about bailouts for the travel industry and for the cruise industry. And by the way, there are a lot of millennials who enjoy travel who are like, look how cheap our flights are. Like, we had a buddy who said, I have an $80 flight to Scottsdale because of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the travel, like the airlines are trying desperate to get people to fly?
Look at all the travel right now. It is unbelievable. You can go to Hawaii.
I got to go to Minneapolis coming up in May. We should have waited like a month.
That's actually a really good point. I have not booked a flight for Minneapolis, but now that you say that, see, that's the thing.
And it's Tuesday right now as we tape this, which is the cheapest day.
Look, man.
Allegedly.
I know that people, I'm sorry for diverting the podcast a little bit, but I just thought it was something that I knew people will talk about. I had an idea that I thought was good, and we will move on. We took up a lot of time.
Yeah.
We're at 38. So we'll try to be quick about the conference tournaments, and then we'll talk about Orlando Arcia and ride out of here. All right. So the Badgers are the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. Absolutely crazy. Greg Gard wins Coach of the Year by the media and the teams. I thought that was well-deserving. A little surprising, but I think with Rutgers kind of trailing off at the end of the year, Penn State trailing off at the end of the year, Greg Gard was the obvious choice. It's almost like a reverse. It's kind of like what LeBron's going through right now. He was the guy who finished off the narrative, and the narrative right now is two Big Ten narratives heading into the tournament are the Badgers are red hot and Michigan State's red hot. And do we believe in Maryland? I think that's probably like the third one, because Maryland has
struggled.
But do they have the coaching to get them past who they could be looking at? Michigan State in the semifinals, who they've lost.
Maryland's coach, Mark Turgeon, right? He's always angry. One of those guys.
Yeah, and his that was a good stutter by me. Very Joe Biden-esque. His butthole is always tight.
Yeah.
His butthole is always – him and Scott Drew, just very tight buttholes all throughout March.
Yeah, they're going after refs. I mean, it's nonstop pretty much with him.
So speaking of
– I do like Maryland, though.
The Badgers have a decent path. Obviously, being the one seed, you tend to get a good path. It's not going to be easy for them starting out against either Rutgers or Michigan. And as a one seed, sometimes it's tough to play that team who's already played a game. They're already fresh. There's that little bit of that AAU mentality, right, where you're playing back-to-back days and it feels good. And Kevin Garnett has even said, like, when you're NBA back-to-backs, you're not always feeling the pain that second day. It's that third day that kind of gets you, or that third and four for the NBAers.
Yeah, I mean, you see it all the time in the NBA where team on a back-to-back comes out for the first half at least where they're just on fire.
They're cooking.
And so, you know, eventually they run out of gas.
But. So it's Rutgers or Michigan. Both teams, Wisconsin, beat Rutgers once. They lost to them once at Rutgers. Rutgers was a very good home team, though, this year. I don't know how much stock you can take into that. And they pounded Rutgers pretty good. They were up by double digits in the second half. Same goes for Michigan. I think if you were to ask the Badgers who they'd rather face, I think they'd say Rutgers, just because they don't have the athleticism that Michigan does. And I think Michigan can still run you out of a gym. I do think Xavier Simpson is kind of that straw that stirs the drink, and Brad Davidson and Trice can guard him pretty good.
And Michigan has a lot of, I feel like front court depth as
they
well.
They do, yeah. They can throw Teske and Franz Wagner, a few other guys at him. So I don't think they want to see Michigan. Then the second game is either Illinois or...
A couple big goofy white guys on that team, yeah, for sure.
Illinois or Penn State, and Illinois beat Wisconsin in the only time they faced each other at the Kohl Center. Illinois is a difficult matchup. They have a lot of athleticism. Kobe Cockburn inside is a beast, and he can really bang with...
Don't call me Cockburn.
Kobe, don't call me Cockburn. Yes, correct.
That dude's as big as a house, though.
He's massive. And Illinois has a very talented roster, very good defensively. I think that the Badgers would prefer not to deal with Illinois, but that's kind of where they're looking. And Illinois will be a favorite against the Nittany Lions. And then this is obviously assuming that the bracket goes to chalk. It's either probably Michigan State or Maryland. Michigan State right now, to me, is the hottest team in basketball, more so than the Badgers, where they just look like the team I think we thought they were going to be all year. We thought Michigan State would be a number one seed. We thought they could be the best team in college basketball. I think they're finally starting to look like that, and that's trouble.
Well, and they're playing their best basketball at the right time for sure.
And it always seems to be the case with Michigan State. They always do this, right? Where it's...
Well, luckily it's been long enough where we don't have to hear every year that, you know, wasn't there the longest time where Michigan State, it was like, oh, if you played there for 4 years, you've been to a Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a dozen-year stretch there.
It was a long streak for Izzo. And
he made it every other year.
They went last year. They're trying to obviously go back this year. So I'll ask you this. So the Badgers have won, I think, 8 straight games. Do you think that it would be good for them to lose and not win out into the Big Ten tournament? That's such a double-edged sword question. It always gets thrown around at this time.
I don't know. I feel like Wisconsin is such a steady Eddie type of style that I don't know if it really matters whether or not they lose. I mean, either way, I honestly don't know if they're going to win the Big Ten tournament. I feel like at some point the shoe drops.
I think the depth, and we'll talk about, you know, their path when we see their path next Sunday.
Now, guys have stepped up big time.
Sure, but they have 8 scholarship guys. And Trevor Anderson, I don't believe, is Trevor Anderson on scholarship? I don't know.
He transferred.
He did, yeah.
From Green Bay.
He might be a preferred one. It doesn't matter. Regardless, they don't have the depth, I think, to carry them in a Big Ten tournament. I think when you're in this tournament style, playing every day, I think depth matters. And I think that's important. So I actually do think they won't win the Big Ten. I'd be surprised if they lost to Rutgers or Michigan. But I think after that, I think you're in a house money situation.
I could see him getting to the championship.
Yeah, totally. I don't really think you're going to fuck.
Illinois would be tough, though.
I don't think you're really going to fuck with your seed if you lose in the semifinals.
No.
I think if you lose the Michigan Rutgers, maybe it knocks you down. But even then, I don't think so. No. I think they look at what you did in the regular season. And because the Big Ten is so good, Rutgers and Michigan are tournament teams. It's not like you lose to one of those teams and you're losing to a bad team.
Yeah, it's not like you're losing to DePaul, right?
Thanks. speaking of that, the Marquette Golden Eagles.
Or Nebraska.
Yeah.
That's a,
but no. No, the
DePaul's trip, better than Nebraska.
Listen, that DePaul trip was very good. That was such a good transition. You didn't need to do the Nebraska. You were fine. You should have just let that hit. Because, yes,
let that simmer.
Marquette is in the Big East tournament. They have lost 6 of their last 7. Because of Kamar Baldwin.
So where was Marquette? So they're the 6th seed in the Big East tournament, right?
Uh-huh.
Were they up in the 3 line in the Big East tournament, you think,
before this? No, they were at the 4. So it was always Creighton, Seton Hall, and Villanova in some order.
Okay.
They kind of went back and
forth.
That was your top tier. And Marquette, by the way, was 1-5 against that top tier this year. So, and if you add Providence, who is the number four, Marquette was 1-7. So
Marquette just wanted that rematch against Seton Hall, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. There's definitely going to be
ruined senior day.
There's going to be a lot of hype to that game because A, it's Miles Powell, Marcus Howard. Even though Miles Powell has been kind of trash the last month, that Mamu has been really their better player, the kid out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. He's just Mamu. And that, so there's that. Number two, there was a big fight at the for this game last year in the Big East. It was a Miles Powell should have got ejected, and that's why Marquette fans are still salty about it because we would have beat Seton Hall that game, and the refs were just so bad, and there's so much animosity between the two. And number three, Kevin Willard's a fucking baby, and he was on Saturday complaining that Creighton cut down the nets at their own home gym. So I think that it's cool that they're playing Seton Hall. I don't think Marquette's going to win.
Did they really cut the nets down in a regular season game?
Yeah, because they won the conference tournament.
That's true, I guess.
What's wrong with that?
That's true. In the Big Ten, you had three teams celebrating winning the fucking conference. Like, you didn't win anything yet.
Willard's like, I just would have been happy if my guys were able to do that. Hey, guess what? Beat fucking Villanova on Wednesday and you would have had that luxury, asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do it. So anyways, do I expect Marquette to win? No. Can Marquette hurt me anymore? No. I've been broken.
You are numb.
No, I am. I'm done. Like, seriously. I'm fully, you can't really be in a done club because they're going to make the tournament. But I am like in the done club.
Done,
of,
like no expectations.
Yeah. Just fuck it. Just fuck it. It's fine. Go out there.
So what are you done with? Are you done with Wojo? Are you done with Marcus Howard? Are you just done with the whole?
It's a good question. I am done with really giving a shit. I'm done with just really and passionately being mad about it. And what really broke me is I did that. I said it on Twitter. I got chirped by some DePaul kids, which was unnecessary. And then they lost by 40 fucking points to Providence. So they can go shut the fuck up. But then they have the audacity to come back against St. John's and make it a one-score game and pull me completely back in, only to turn the ball over in the final seconds and lose.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more can you get punched in the dick?
Yeah.
All I do watching this fucking team
is get angry.
Is get just continually punched in the nuts.
Kicked in the right in the shaft.
Exactly. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll just watch the game. I'll enjoy it.
As a casual observer.
I try to. Commentary. I'm sure I'll get sucked back in. I do this all the time with teams. I'll say, I'm done. Like, they broke. I said about the Brewers last year, and then they make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe this inspires them, and they go on a run.
Yeah.
And look, if you beat Seton Hall, that's all I need. I don't care. You face Villanova the next day, probably.
This is your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, if you.
Got to get them back.
I just hope. I guess the one thing I hope, even though as a broken fan, and yes, I am kind of done with Wojo. I'm not done with Marcus Howard. Marcus Howard's has had a great career in Marquette. He probably deserves to have his number retired. Unfortunately, the style of play that Marcus Howard plays with this high usage rate, so many players think they don't have to work on their game or do as much because they think Marcus just isn't going to pass them the ball. I think there's some half-truths to that. I think some of that is true, but I think most of it isn't. And I just think that players just don't do enough around him and don't move around, and it's just – it's whatever. So, yeah, you beat Seton Hall, great. You play Villanova, likely. Could play Xavier, could play DePaul, but you likely play Villanova. You could beat Villanova. Villanova's a very young team. I think this will be kind of their first Big East environment, and it's wide open because
– I mean, I feel like the Big East in general is pretty wide open.
Well, yeah.
If Creighton has these injury issues.
Yeah, Marcus Zagorowski. Zagorowski.
You didn't know it was Michael Carter Williams' brother?
No, I didn't. I had zero idea.
That's crazy.
That was a fun fact.
And you watch Big East basketball for a living.
Sorry, man. Missed it.
I mean, I think I had caught a Creighton game earlier in the year. And I was like, wow, this dude's really good.
I haven't watched a lot.
And they were talking about him.
I will say I haven't watched a lot of Creighton this year. One of the teams I probably have the least amount of knowledge on is Creighton. I've watched a little bit, but not to where I've watched Villanova, Seton Hall, Providence, even Xavier,
yeah.
Butler.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch enough college basketball, but when I do watch, I have the fortunate, I'm able to kind of pick out like at least guys who I think are, you know, and he was one of them where I was like, that dude is He's better than everybody on the court, I feel like.
You look for guys who you're like, hey, I think he could fit in.
And maybe it was a non-conference game or something, but it just, yeah. And then sure enough, then you start seeing this week he gets hurt, and it's kind of a big deal. And it doesn't seem like it's too big of an injury.
Yeah, he could be back for the tournament, but it's a meniscus issue, which that's kind of a weird, that's always a scary one.
Yeah.
To wrap up the show as we're running long, as we had another, the coronavirus hit our middle of our show. I just, Orlando Arcia stuff, I mean, he's hit 5 home runs in spring training. You can argue, hey, it's spring training.
Another sack fly RBI today, I believe.
The thing that drives me crazy, Mitch, about this is Orlando Arcia is one of those guys who he needs a little motivation.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a little kick in the ass.
If he doesn't have anyone on his ass, he's goofing around in the dugout. I hate to say it, but I mean, he does do a lot of that. But
look, the Brewers are a very relaxed clubhouse
for sure.
But a friend of mine who has a very good vantage point of the Brewers dugout talked to me and he kind of convinced me not like Arcia, but to think differently about him because he's like, all he does is fuck around in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
All he does, like, I'll watch him. I have a perfect vantage point into the clubhouse from where my seats are. And all I see him do is fuck around in the clubhouse. And it drives me crazy. And he's not like a boomer fan. Like, he's a former athlete. So he's like, he kind
of
gets it.
Well, and it's one of those things where, you know, if you're playing well, the team's doing well, fine. You know, it doesn't bother you. But when you're hitting 212 and barely justifying a roster spot.
I mean, Orlando Arcia is like a shorter, longer hair John Henson, right?
Where
John Henson was always smiling and the Bucks would be losing. And he'd be like, John, we're fucking down 20, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, chill. Like, I know Lucid
get
is
mad.
I know Lucid is on the radar tonight, but relax.
Well, I was thinking like kind of the, you know, Niger Morgan. I mean, like where Niger was kind of a flash in the pan, but like, you could put up with the shit when he was hitting 330 in 2011, but when the wheels fell off, as they inevitably did, I mean, you got no use for the guy.
Right. And now that Luis Urias is there, and I might have butchered his name. That's fine. Did I butcher his name?
Urias.
Urias?
Said, yeah.
Okay. I said that's Urias. Urias.
Urias is kind of a cringy name.
It's tough. It's a tough name.
It's just like, sounds like a body part or something. Yeah. Like, urethra.
Oh, something. Yeah. You're like, yeah. So hey, babe, like, let me see your that uresis. I fucked
love
up.
To see your ureus.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, right. Getting off the rails here. But Arcia, just the fact that that is what it took to motivate him to, like, actually play to his potential is so fucking frustrating.
It's on brand.
It is. And so the Brewers are like, well, this is great. Now we'll just.
I personally think it's just spring training. I mean.
Sure.
And they're really just, I mean.
This could be just the hitting version of Freddy Peralta and Corbin Burns from last year.
Well, I mean, spring training is just so, I mean, Logan Morrison's also the flavor of the week. And, I mean, the dude was pretty much out of baseball last year.
Yeah, but don't you kind of like Logan Morrison as our 26th guy versus, like, sure, Ben Gamble?
Big Bop and Benny, that's my guy.
I know it's your guy, but
I mean, not really.
So there, so
the thing with that is there's so many goddamn outfielders already.
Well, also, there's so many guys that are like Ben Gamble, Brock Holt, Eric Sogard. How are they any different than Ben Gamble?
I think Ben Gamble's a lot faster than those guys.
Probably. I don't know about Brock Holt, but Ben Gamble, yes.
I have yet to see Brock Holt ever play a baseball game, so I don't.
I also have not seen Brock Holt play a baseball game.
I can't honestly tell you how, if I know how fast he is or not.
I'll say that I rank spring training below preseason football in terms of things I just can't watch. Preseason basketball actually might be the lowest. See, if I go preseason basketball is the least watchable, then spring training, and then preseason football. I can turn on preseason football just to kind of get the tingles back, just feel it in my plums a little bit. Baseball, it's just nice to see the imagery. I can see the warm weather, be like, oh, yeah, wish I was there.
You can feel it coming.
But I don't give one fucking shit about any of that. I don't get mad when the Cubs are mic'd up and it's a fun thing about the Cubs. Because I'm like, you know what? Whatever.
I didn't get mad. I liked it. I don't know. I mean, cool. I think that shit's awesome that, like,
yeah, totally.
Baseball needs to do more of that.
Yeah.
Baseball should literally do that. ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball. Have two guys mic'd up the entire time.
Yeah. And if you
or like need, at least like one at bat.
If you need to, like, put
they'll probably never do that during the regular season because
they won't.
It's too distracting.
It is too distracting, and they would say that.
Did you see the Freddie Freeman one?
No, I didn't.
That was pretty good. I'd look into that one.
I will check it out. Freddie Freeman, a.k.a. Nolan Murphy's cousin. Right.
Part of it is because they're probably trying not to swear.
Yeah, yeah.
So they might say something, golly, or something. Or,
I guess, here's the thing. What about if you don't mic up the players, but what if you do, like, if every week, kind of like NFL Films, you do like a YouTube show that's just like the sounds of the week. Mm-hmm. And it's just you have all the dugouts mic'd up and you're able to, you know, MLB.
That way nobody will cheat anymore.
Well, yeah. It's number one. Hey, we just solved cheating. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
We've solved the coronavirus ticket thing and we've solved cheating in baseball in one fucking podcast.
Problem solving podcast.
Name another podcast that can do that for you.
Yeah.
You can't. So the fact is
I agree. I like that.
Yes. Why not do a sounds of the week or follow one team around each week and have them completely mic'd up? Say, all right, this is Blue Jays week, and mm-hmm. then next week is Yankees week, and like you're every week you get a new team and you get to like kind of follow them along, and then it's kind of like this. It's almost like 24/7, which is a great show, and really enjoyed it. And
well, and maybe they do this, but I know for NBA games. When a guy's warming up, they mic him up, and then they go to him like on the pregame show.
Yeah.
Baseball should do that, and then also make sure it gets to social media.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yes. Yes. Because all this stuff does really well on social. It does great.
Absolutely.
Does
like the mic'd up stuff will go viral. I mean,
yeah.
If they did it every Sunday Night Baseball, they have the Yankees, and they do Pete Alonso or something.
Yeah.
I mean, not the Yankees, the Mets. Excuse me. No, you know what I meant. The Sorry. Mets, Pete Alonso.
Hey, well, you know, pick your, kill you.
You know, I mean, Christian Yelich is a little vanilla, but I mean, he could still be kind of fun.
And I mean, he does fun stuff. I mean, he raced Cody Bellinger in a beer drinking contest last week. I think he won. Did you think he won? I thought it was really close. I couldn't really.
He's not bad. I mean, we've seen him at Bucks playoff games. He holds his own.
Yeah, did all right.
D-Box still the king.
Cody Bellinger though, Cody Bellinger might be getting into that try hard Hall of Fame category, because okay, so we have the beer chug. He tried to hit a golf ball after Mike Trout did. You saw Trout hit that golf ball, right?
That's a dude, fucking piss missile.
Oh my god, I
saw that. He fucking, my dad, that was a rope.
My dad as a golf guy, I was like, dude, like that.
He cleared the net, didn't he?
And my dad had maybe his most hard-o statement of 2020 goes. Well, you know, he didn't really hit that golf ball that well. He actually, his form was kind of bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, clearly he's a baseball player.
He's like, but he's so good that he was able to just use his hips and drive it through.
He just like, he hooked it, but I mean, that was a bomb.
He said he's trying to listen to more podcasts. I got to get his CarPlay set up. So if I get his CarPlay set up in the next few days and he hears this, Dad, it's all love. Just know that. And come on the pod.
Love to have you.
Third member. Let's get it. All right. Well, that does it. Be back tomorrow, Daily Tap. Then on Friday, we'll have a loaded show because we'll have Marquette thoughts and we will have Bucks Celtics thoughts. So it'll be a good show for Friday. And then we'll be back Sunday with brackets, and that'll be exciting. And if there's something that'll happen.
Selection Sunday, baby, coming up.
And it could be the most depressing Selection Sunday in all of history. Morgan's gone all day, so I might be a moping mess. But we'll see. All right. For Mitch.
Best of luck.
I'm Charlie. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one. Have a good rest of the week, Terrace.
Peace.